Take your Bibles, if you would please, this evening and open up to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 11 in the Word of God tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 in the Word of God this evening. And as you find your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? 1 Corinthians and chapter number 11. And I'm going to ask something that probably I've never asked at the church before, but tonight, as we partake in the Lord's Supper, I believe this is one of the most wonderful times. It's an incredible time that we get to stop and remember what God has done for us. I'm going to speak on this topic for the next couple of moments. I just ask that we really, as best we can, try to narrow down distractions and just tune in. I know we have a lot of young kids in here tonight. And young kids, now all the kids, I want you to look up here for just a moment. I would encourage you to really tune in to what I'm about to preach on and really in a teaching format, kind of walk us through this. And again, we have a lot of young kids that you can participate and you can listen and you can understand this just as we can as adults. But I was thinking about two things right before church. I was thinking, number one, I want to try to narrow down our distractions. And number two, I was going to tell Brother Gary, and Brother Gary, I didn't make it back there. I was going to say, try to turn me up tonight if you could. I preached for several hours yesterday. My voice is a little bit raspy. And during the song service, we have the biggest distraction of humming in our speakers, which I never heard before. And then Pastor Chris said, we might have to turn your mic off. So I'm thinking, this is great, just great. Probably should have never had either one of those thoughts, but the Lord's going to meet with this nonetheless. And if we have some humming that comes up, who cares? If they have to turn me off, I'll preach out loud. And we're just going to tune in to what God has for us tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look with me at verse number 26, if you would. Verse number 26. Verse number 26 says this: "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, tonight's such a special night. I love these nights. Lord, I don't know what it is. It's just something about the body of Christ getting together. And Lord, we get to talk to you this evening. And Father, for those of us who are saved tonight, this is just something incredible that we get to do and partake in. Lord, I hope, God, that tonight those who are not saved, those who do not know you as their personal Savior, even those that may be doubting their salvation, that they tune into this passage tonight. May we as parents and adults take serious what we're going to talk about, preach about. God, this is not us making up something. Tonight we're going to go to the very Word of God. Lord, you know my heart. I'm a Bible believer. I believe this Word is inerrant. I believe that it is inspired. I believe, Father, that it is truly without errors and that we can go to it and we can learn, we can grow, and it can guide our lives. And Father, as we approach the Word of God, Lord, may we do it in a serious manner this evening. I love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's really an incredible thought. It's amazing as a Christian to be able to think about so many centuries ago, Jesus coming to this earth, being our Savior, and dying on a cross. What he did on Calvary, comprehend, can never be repaid. If you and I lived a million lifetimes, we could not repay what God did on the cross. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 3, "For I delivered on you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Oftentimes, our walk with the Lord, we forget of the great God that you and I serve. Oftentimes, I believe we almost become callous to the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross and paid the penalty for our sin. We often forget of the great sacrifice that he paid for you and I. I think we've almost become used to the fact that we know by heart, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are reminded tonight in the Word of God how you and I, as Christians, are to remember what Christ did for you and I. In this passage of Scripture, we begin to see, first of all, this rebuke that comes from the Apostle Paul. Look with me in the same chapter, chapter number 11 of 1 Corinthians. Look with me at verse number 17 and watch very carefully. The Bible says this, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, but they which are approved may be made manifest among you. For when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat at the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one of you taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame in them that have not? And what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." This rebuke comes from the Apostle Paul when we come to partake, or when we come to see the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Paul begins to talk to them, and part of this passage, Paul begins to speak to the church about taking the Lord's Supper and really taking it out of context. As time had gone on, there were begin to be those that would begin to misuse the Lord's Supper and abuse what God had set up. There were those even that were coming to partake of the Lord's Supper, and there would be what you and I would call a dinner on the grounds, or perhaps even a potluck, and they would come and they were withholding their food from certain people in the church. Well, I don't like this person, so I'm going to hold it back. I don't really like this person, so I'm going to hold back. I don't like their last name, so they're not going to have my food that I brought. And God was displeased with this attitude. And you and I, looking at this passage of Scripture, we absolutely can comprehend that in local churches, even today, this is taking place. That there are those that would want their way of worship. They want their way, and they want their schedule, and they want their preference, or they want their standard of godliness or holiness instead of the Word of God. You see, as God had set out, as Jesus had set out, "This do in remembrance of me," it was not too long that they began to add to. Well, we want this, and we want this, and we want this. And sooner or later, what began to happen is they almost began to treat their standard like it was the very Word of God. And we often see this partaking even in local churches around the globe today. Those who would take their preference or their standard or the way that they want worship to look like or to be. And I want it this way, and I want it this way. And if it's not this way, and if I don't get my way, then we see this church hopping begin to take place. And we see these arguments begin to happen. And before we want to jump in and just rebuke this local church here for what they were doing, comprehend, may God forbid that it ever take place at Cross Point Baptist Church, that we begin to put what we want, our worship, above what God has set out for us in the Word of God. In fact, there's a strong warning. The Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within a full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Understand that as Paul steps in and begins to share with them, look, that there's a rebuke that needs to take place. Why? Because you are taking out of context something beautiful that God has set up for us. Look with me at verse number 23 and watch the wording here. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now let's pause right here for just a moment and comprehend what's taking place. Paul begins verse number 23 with the word "for I." The presence of this emphatic pronoun leads that Paul had received personal revelation from the Lord on this matter. There are many other references that we don't have time this evening where Paul had begun or suggests that Paul had been given some training from God. Acts chapter number 18 and Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 23 and Galatians chapter number 1 all leads to suggest that Paul had these revelations that were given directly to him. So in verse number 23, as Paul begins to show them that he has the resume to say, to set them straight. He has the word that he's received from God. He has the training. And so he is going to teach them how to correctly partake in the Lord's Supper. First of all, we see this rebuke. But then secondly, we begin to see the remembrance. Look with me at verse number 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks," verse number 24, "he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You see, we are going tonight to look at this remembrance. And the first remembrance that we see is this bread. You see, the bread is showing you and I of what Jesus Christ did or what his body went through by being broken on the cross. Now, oftentimes when I read a passage of Scripture, when any preacher reads a passage of Scripture that's familiar, what we often do is we tune out. But I want us for a moment to listen very carefully to the words of Mark. When they had mocked him, talking about Jesus, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by coming out of country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. They bring him to a place, Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave unto him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. When they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. The superscription of the accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said that he was numbered with the transgressors. You see, Paul comes in and says, we are going to partake of this Lord's Supper. We're going to remember by this bread the body that was broken. You see, when we partake of the bread, we're remembering what should have been us. But Jesus Christ took the punishment for sin for you and for me. You see, he received 39 lashes. He took that crown of thorns upon his head. He was beaten in the face. He was punched over and over. He had his beard literally plucked from his face. He had nails put into his hands and his feet. For a long time, he gasped for air, literally suffocating for you and for me. When he passed, he had a spear that was jammed up into his side. Isaiah said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." Tonight, we're thinking of our Savior that loved you and I so much that every lash that laid across his back, and when it was pulled out, the chunks of meat that came off his back, my goodness, those that would mock him and slap him across the face. The crown of thorns that, if you can even imagine, would pierce, some historians say, possibly through his skull, almost into his brain, the nerves that it must have hit. The pain of carrying a heavy cross through a street, over and over kicked and beaten. When we take that bread tonight, we're remembering that he did it. He did it for you, and he did it for me. They did not take his life, he gave it. You see, we see this bread, but also we see the blood. Verse number 25, would you look at it with me? "After the same manner also he took the cup, When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You see, the precious blood of Jesus was all that it took. There would be no more sacrificing of the lamb. There would be no more a sheep, the perfect lamb that would be brought forward as they had done for thousands of years prior. No, the perfect lamb was slain. John said it like this. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But if ye walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." You see, this blood was shed. It was shed to save us. It was shed to cover our sins. And my friend, it was shed for everyone. When you and I take this little cup of juice tonight, we're remembering that blood that was shed for you and for me, the perfect blood that was shed, that you and I are remembering tonight. You and I are remembering that that blood forgives us of all of our sin, past, present, and future. And tonight, when we take that blood, when you and I remember by drinking this juice tonight, it's us saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood that you shed on Calvary. Thank you that you paid it all." You and I see the rebuke and the remembrance. But it's very important, now listen, that we remember that there is a ramification. Look with me at verse number 27 tonight. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Look at verse number 29. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation of himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." You see, this is very serious. In verse number 27, Paul demands that everyone partaking the Lord's Supper be fit morally and scripturally and spiritually and have the condition, now watch very carefully, to partake in a supper that we are remembering the Lord. You see, partake in the supper in an unworthy manner is a reference of condition described in verse number 21. One who consumes the supper in a spirit of fakeness and or greed or gluttony contradicts the purpose of Christ's offering and shares the meal in an unworthy manner. It goes as far to say this, that some that take this unworthily are not, maybe perhaps not saved, or perhaps they're not right with God. And because of this, now watch, this is not Thomas Shepherd saying this. This is the very word of God that you and I are reading. Because some will take this and they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or they come tonight and they grab it and everybody else is doing it, so you know what, it's not a big deal, I'll just go ahead and do it just in case somebody looks at me. There are those that will take it unworthily, and because of this, the Bible says that they are sick. That means that their health literally is stricken. You say, would God do that? It's what he says in his word. Can he do that? Absolutely he can. But the Bible goes as far as to say this, that others sleep. This is not a good thing. Let's all just take a nap. This is not NyQuil. No, comprehend tonight. This is how the Bible describes the death of Christians. There are some tonight that may approach this room and say, "Well, that's not a big deal. You know what? Brother Habing gave it to me. I think I'll comprehend. I'll just get it right later." Friend, the Bible says that some partake literally will die if they take it in an unworthy manner. Here's where I always pause because it gets very solemn. And to be honest with you, I've had the thought, then why take it? Then what? I mean, why would I even take that chance? I mean, if I'm going to take it and somebody's going to get sick, look, It's kind of a virus that's going around right now that I really don't want to get. I don't want to end up in the hospital. I don't want, you know, and then pastor, I mean, we're talking about death. We're talking about dying. What? I mean, I should have just stayed home tonight. It's not, I just kind of skip it. I mean, would we not think that? Why would we come to something and be so serious that we take it in an unworthy manner? Well, tonight the Bible says that there is also an examination that takes place. Verse number 28 says this, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Verse number 31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." The psalmist said it this way, Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, a verse that we know by heart, and it's so encouraging. Check it out. "For if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In just a several moments, we're going to stop, and Miss Chris is going to come up, and as she plays this evening, guess what we're going to do? We get to pause for a moment. We get to kneel at our seats, or we get to come up here, and we get to talk to the Lord, and we get to ask Him, "God, reveal any sin in my life. If there's bitterness, or if there's pride, or if there's some discontentment, or God, if there's some ill feelings towards someone, Lord, if I've been a gluttonous, or God, if I've been having the wrong thoughts, or I've been listening or watching something that I ought not to, or if I've had a wrong attitude about you, Savior, or what God, whatever it is, Lord, reveal it to me, because God, tonight, I just want to get it right. Father, I just want to confess it." Friend, I just want to put it this way. It's nothing like just getting right with God. Tonight is one of the most incredible services. When you and I get to get down and we get to say, "God, you've revealed." We know what it is. We don't. Sometimes I wonder, do we really have to ask God what it is? I think we already right now know exactly what we need to get right. God has already revealed it to us of exactly what we need to talk to Him about. And it's simply this: "God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Savior. Lord, I'm tired of carrying this baggage. Tonight, Lord, I give it to you. Forgive me of my sin." You say, but Pastor, what if there's something in there I forget about? He knows. He knows our heart. God, maybe you haven't revealed something to me, but Savior, I don't want to be prideful tonight. Father, if there's something there that I've done and maybe even forgot about, Father, I'm sorry. I confess it this evening. You see, the examination is this. We get to tonight be cleansed. We get to say, "I'm sorry." And you know what Christ says? It's under the blood. It's forgiven. Child, it's done. I'm going to take your sin, I'm going to separate it as far as the east is from the west. What does that mean? It's forgotten. It's done. It's covered. Tonight is the night, friend. The reason I truly love nights like this is because I think this is where revival really starts, with us getting things right. And then after we have a time of examination, we get to, in a moment, we get to partake. We get to take that bread, and we get to break it, and we get to remember. We get to remember, "Wow, God, your body was broken for me." And here's what we do. "God, thank you. Thank you, Savior, for dying for me." And then you and I get to take that juice, and we drink it. We say, "God, I remember this evening the blood that was spilt. Savior, thank you for shedding your blood on the cross for me. God, you did it for me. Thank you." the examination. Lord, forgive me. And in just a moment, I'm going to have some men come and pray, and we're going to partake. And tonight, we're going to say, Lord, thank you.